Hey Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Each, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Jake, how's it going?
Good.
Let's get to it.
Let's get after it.
We've got some good stuff to talk about today, and really excited. We've got some good listener questions that have come in. Let's get rolling here. We're continuing on to 2 Corinthians. Yesterday we were in 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 15. Jake, and your big idea was our giving should be a willing, generous, thoughtful, cheerful, confident decision.
Yeah.
As if that's not everything from the text that we just packed in there. If you had more time, first question here is always on the podcast. If you had more time for your message to expand or include something else, what would you have had there?
Yeah, more time. I mean, we slowed up on purpose. So I feel like I'm getting a lot of time, but there's a lot in that text.
We've got the same verses next week again.
Yeah, we're
right?
going to go further.
Okay, sweet.
But there's some overlap, especially in that middle section. I feel like in chapter 9, if I had more time, I'll answer your question this way. Verses 1 through 5 are probably getting the least amount of attention.
Sure.
Because there's just some weighty stuff in the end of 5 through the rest of the chapter. So having more time, maybe the first 5 verses of just what's the appropriate – transparent accountability when it comes to being generous people, and how should that exist in our lives? We tend to think, you know, our finances are extremely private. But here you have Paul talking about their giving, sending somebody to collect their giving, holding them accountable to giving. How should that look like in our relationships? Does anybody have access to your budget? Do you have transparency with any brother or sister in Christ where they can hold you accountable? So I think that is an appropriate part of discipleship that should exist somewhere. So maybe spending more time talking about that we see more in the first 5 verses.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's good.
Yeah. Also, jumping in before we go further, I think I need to apologize. In one of the services, I said BS and then screw it and – or screw this or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I was kind of
a little crass,
worked up in the moment. And yep. It's like, that wasn't the best choice of words. And I know parents are sitting there. It's like, we don't let our kids say that word and hear our pastor saying that word. So it's like that wasn't fitting. And yeah, I apologize for that.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Thanks for saying that. I didn't hear that. So it wasn't.
You were, you weren't in
I don't
that
think
service.
I was in that yeah. service.
Oh, good.
That's yeah. No, I mean, even in the moment where there's good passion, you can have an unhelpful communication of that.
Yeah, we certainly
passion
can
and emotion
communicate angst in better ways. So
yeah, that's good. Well, thanks for saying that. All right, let's move on. Second question here, Jake. What components should go into helping someone determine what generous giving is for them? This was one of the questions that we had in the podcast, or not in the podcast, in the connection group questions of like thinking through, but maybe not like drilling down the specifics. We talked about the heart, but also like how have you seen like helpful, practical, just filters or conversations that lead to assessing what generous giving?
Like how do you determine that?
Yeah. How you determine what is it for you? Because it's going to be – there's a spectrum.
Yeah.
I mean, you have everything from the widow's mite to people selling fields and like distributing proceeds. Like how is that – like it's clearly not the field or the mite because for each one of those, that's really,
well,
that's really generous.
You mentioned the widow's mite. I mean, what Christ points out in that situation where he made a comparison between her giving and the other people's giving, and – the critique was they gave out of their excess, but she gave out of her – I forget the
– out of – isn't it poverty? Some translations say like out of her poverty, like gave it all.
Yeah. So I think we fall into the type of giving that Christ critiqued. We give out of our excess. So generosity, I would say, you need to make a budget. You got to know what's coming in and where your money's going.
Yeah.
And in making a budget – I think to follow kind of the heart behind free will offerings in the Old Testament of first fruits, that I think you need to make your giving decisions first.
Yeah.
And then you make some saving decisions, be wise with your money, your living decisions. We flip that. We make our living decisions. You know, this is the type of house I'm going to live in, the type of car I'm going to drive, the type of lifestyle I'm going to have. I got to save money. And do we have any leftover to give? Because we want to be generous. Make a budget. Make your giving decisions first. The percentages in the Old Testament are a good guide of the tithe, the 10%. I think that's a good starting place.
Yeah.
And I think your giving should involve some sacrifices. What choices are we making in order to be generous people? What sacrifices are we making in order to be generous people? That doesn't mean you can't have nice things and go on nice vacations, but it does mean you're not going on the nicest vacation you could. You're not having the nicest things possible.
Right. Because, or two – like it's like we might delay one. We might be all right with one week
right
long
to
vacation.
Live at the top of your means you're not giving anything away. So you have to – I would be conscious of the sacrifices you're making.
There was something that – I can't remember exactly when this was, but that you said at one point that was really impactful for Kirsten and I. Actually, a couple of things. But like sacrificial giving involves delaying – like something that you could say yes to involves delaying or foregoing something else.
Yeah.
So is there actually something that we're giving up to be sacrificial in that? And then also I think with that, a filter that's been helpful for us is anytime there is a change in income, whether that's a bonus or a raise, anything there, that's a trigger.
Yeah.
An inheritance. That's a trigger for this is immediately there's a giving decision to be made here. And it's not just like, all right, just 10%. It's like, can we do more?
Yeah. And that's really taken from the parable of the rich fool who they had a really good year of crops, which is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. They were blessed, but they made the conclusion that all their extra was
all
for them.
For me. And then the other thing on the back end, I forget when this was, a couple years back, that and I was guilty of this, and I think this is why it stuck with me. But so we do a zero-based budget. At end of every month, it's like, what didn't we spend?
Mm.
That had always gone to some other savings category.
Oh, sure.
And I remember you're like, do you just assume at the end of the month that all the leftover is for you? Mm. And I was like, yeah, I have been. Without really even thinking about it, it's like, what additional spontaneous generosity or additional sacrificial giving can we do with that? So that's been something that I think on the front end and the back end that have really been impactful. And they're simple filters, but it's like anytime there's a change in income, make an increased generosity decision. And that's been super helpful for us. So I hope that can be an encouragement to somebody else as well.
Great.
But anything else there with any other ways that we can have prioritizing generous giving or understanding what that looks like for us?
I think the lean into the blessing of community, talk to other people, especially people that have been following Jesus longer.
Yeah.
What does generosity look for you? How did you get there? How did you determine that? Enjoy the benefit of community. Have these conversations. You may feel like, oh, I thought we were generous. That challenged me. I hadn't thought of it that way. And that's a benefit from community. So I'd lean into that.
And I would say if that feels weird, like you're either feeling like there's a temptation to compare, and it's not about compare, like that's not what we're asking you to do. But it's like if you don't have somebody that's close enough that you can open up your budget to and say, hey, check me if I'm wrong, I would say your depth of community is a little lacking there.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. And you should have relationships that are that level of closeness.
Right.
And there could be a temptation. It's like, well, I don't really want to be held accountable in this area.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
It's safer to stay private. So I think we sharpen each other in community. So I would bring your giving practices into the light with a trusted brother or sister and be open to being challenged and encouraged. You may find it's encouragement. Like, you know, one of the sad things for me in not knowing what people give is like I want to say thank you to people sure. that live a sacrificial, generous life. And I know they don't give to Veritas, and they hope they're giving to the Lord, and
right.
and the Lord sees that, and that's what matters. But, you know, opening that up to a trusted friend, you're going to get challenged, but you're also going to get encouraged too.
Yeah. Yeah. You should be able to guard against the feelings of pride or shame in that and just be vulnerable and have a desire ultimately of like, how can I continue to worship God through intentional generosity, and where can I grow in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, third question here. What can families do to help prioritize the importance of willing, generous, thoughtful, cheerful, and confident giving and include their children in that?
I mean, I would probably provide a similar answer to the last question
sure.
in the sense of make a budget,
yep.
use percentages, just so you know
yep.
To prioritize it is to put thought to it and to know what's coming in and know what's going out.
Well, let me switch it. So we do online giving.
Mm-hmm.
My kids don't see that.
Sure, sure. Okay.
So like how can I help? Because actually it is funny because I'm selfishly asking this personally because last week we were in the car and Theo pipes up from the backseat. He goes, Dad, how much money do your mom have? And mm-hmm. I was like, what are you asking? I can tell you.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you exactly what our net worth is. Like, I can look, pull up my app and I could show
yeah.
you. But like my question or my answer was basically like, we have more than we need. God continues to provide for us.
Uh-huh.
And I hope that one day we can just continue to be extravagantly generous
right.
and share that with you and help you share that with other people.
Yeah. How do you bring your kids along? One of the things that's regrettable is offering is not a part of our worship on a Sunday. Like, for most people that give online,
yep.
we give online. So we have, you know, we set a budget every July. We make our giving decisions. And then it's like you forget it. So you don't have that ongoing practice. Now, hopefully, generosity is you're responding to opportunities throughout the year
yep.
outside of that. But in our worship service, we don't have a time of worship where we're writing that check, putting it in the plate.
Yeah.
Because I remember, you know, as a kid growing up, you saw mom and dad get out their checkbook, write it, drop it in the plate. Like, you witnessed your parents giving money.
Yep.
And a lot of kids are robbed of that today. They don't witness. So I yep. think if you're giving online, it's important to have conversations with your kids. This is what we're doing. These are our priorities. Because otherwise they won't see it. They won't know it. A way that you can establish that, if you give your kids allowance, let's say you get an allowance every month, help them learn this priority young of you have a give jar, you got a save jar, and you got a live
yep.
jar.
We have all three of our kids' piggy banks. They have that's three categories and they're all three like a different style, but they all have a give, save, live.
Yeah.
And then we talk through and we say, all right, what do you want to give back to the Lord? An opportunity to be generous. What do you want to save for like a Lego set or something else?
Yeah. It's just teaching.
What do you want to spend?
It's teaching the priority of generosity and smart money handling practices
yeah.
to your kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, not getting to witness your parents making a financial offering is regrettable. And I think parents
yeah.
have to think through, how do we let our kids in on this part of worship?
So this is – I mean, because this was a conversation Kirsten and I were having last night. Looking through, so the big idea, I was like, take this with – graciously, I was like, I think the thing I struggle with the most is that our giving isn't thoughtful in the sense that it happens mm-hmm. and that like, yeah, I see like our receipt come in and then, you know, we account for that in the budget. It's great. But it's like should we like pray on the, like on the first of the month where it's like that come, like, should we do that together as a family? Is there something additional that we should do where like, we
yeah.
can make an object lesson. Like, I'm just trying to think through.
I hear what you're
this
saying.
This is all just
and
really
yeah,
for me.
Yeah. Yes, you should pray. But I know you. I don't make it more complicated.
Right.
You made a thoughtful, calculated
yeah,
decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's more of the pushback against the reaction of just, we should give something. What do I got in my
right.
purse right now?
Right.
You know.
Yeah. But that's where I think the go beyond the next step of thoughtfulness is like, yes, it's set. Yes, we've prioritized it. But also there's a way – like that's what I loved about what we did at the members meeting when it was the – when we kicked off the building campaign
mm-hmm.
or when we had that Pledge Sunday. Like that was the first time in a long time where like we turned something in,
yeah.
And it was like, oh, this gets to be an act of worship,
right? Yeah,
which was, I think, a little bit of an indictment on our just regular rhythms. So, sure. Yeah, that's just something I don't. Is that anybody listen to this? If you got great ideas or things that you're doing with your kids to talk through, I'd love to hear that, and maybe we can loop back next week
for sure.
Yeah, the other thing I was like, well, what if we just like once a month we made a pie and then we like cut out like, you know, a quarter of it and then we just eat three quarters of it. But then like, what do we do with that other quarter? Do we just like throw it away?
Because that doesn't, sound like that doesn't make good sense.
Yeah. We like bless that and then eat it as well. I don't know. But just trying to talk through it. But it is sweet because I mean our old Theo is like that age where he's starting to see that. And it is like some of the like – you know, we usually, whenever we do like our budget review, like once a month or weekly, whenever he's starting to stay up later. So sometimes he sees a little bit of that, but yeah. just to kind of talk through and like percentages mm-hmm. and different stuff. But I don't.
No, that's good.
Yeah, I don't know. Sweet. All right. Well, we've got a little backlog here of some questions that we're going to dive into. So some good listener questions. Yesterday, I think, Jake, I got like four emails from people either filling out the form and asking questions and really engaging with the text. And I'm super thankful that we have a way to do this. So I'm pumped about this. This one was from a couple weeks back. So this member of our church has a husband that is not yet a believer. And gives out of the money that she receives monthly, and understanding that there is a call to honor her Lord, to honor the Lord in her giving, but also to honor her husband and respect his wishes. References 1 Peter 3:1-6 and Ephesians 5:22-24. Since the topic of my giving doesn't come up, but maybe once every other month, depending on ups and downs in the stock market and how he's doing financially. Should she submit to her husband's ultimate wishes to not give to the church?
Yeah. If the situation is, hey, you got some of your money and what you want to do with that, that's your decision, then I would say then be obedient in giving. If your husband is saying, as an unbeliever, we're not doing that, I wouldn't put pressure on that. Lady to give. I think there's 1 Corinthians 7 where if you're living married to an unbeliever, you know, to win them over by your demeanor. So if it's causing conflict in that way, then I would say let him see your kindness. Let him see your patience. Let him see your gentleness. Let him see your confidence and your peace and your joy. More than winning this money argument.
Sure.
So that's probably how I'd handle that one.
Yeah. And I think too, even in that, I mean, there's maybe the – not to continue to drive like ongoing conversation of contention, but if there's disagreement with, you know, maybe there is separate income coming in, but it seems to be they handle it together, make decisions mm-hmm. together. I would say if her ultimate desire is not asking for – this new thing or whatever, but like, hey, I'd appreciate being able to give some to the church that I'm a part of. What could we do this month? And if that's a conversation, nothing. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Continue to let your values be shown in a respectable, kind way. But at the end of the day, you have bigger things than winning a money argument.
Yeah.
And God knows your heart. And, I would not put a burden on her to cause greater tension in her marriage for this.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, another question here. I know of one or more church members who could use help meeting their needs. It seems that sometimes they are not really working hard to solve some of their problems, specifically like they are not making it a priority to improve their finances. Before offering them my own resources, should I consider those things or is it not mine to make that judgment? Am I enabling the problem or am I enabling a problem by giving? Any help in this would be great.
Yes, you do need to make those judgments. And I think it's been twisted in our society of giving to, you know, people on the street, and you're just like, I don't know their background, I don't know their story. It's not my problem what they do with the money. It's just my call to be generous. Yes, to an extent, but you're a stewardship of this money, and you need to be wise with it, especially within the church community. So I look at Paul's instructions on giving to widows. So it was clear the church was to support widows, but he was like, yeah, but here's the requirements to support a widow in our church. If a widow doesn't meet these requirements, then no. So there was discretion and discernment used in benevolent giving.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say if you're just giving benevolently to somebody that you're not really helping or holding them accountable to wise decisions, then you're not helping them.
Yeah.
You're enabling them to do that. And that's ultimately not loving. We may feel better personally because we practiced some generosity and we gave, but the situation's more complex, and it would be probably a better help to go to that person and say, like, hey, let me help you form a budget. Let me help you make better money choices. Let me help you navigate some of these costs than just throwing money at a problem.
Especially that it's somebody in our church. I think this would also be too wise to include others. Like, who else could be helpful? So
yeah,
that there's plurality in – it's not just an individual and this person needing help. It's like, okay, this is – there's a bigger
– there's a cycle you want to
break. There's other things going
yeah
on here. We need to get some people around you. And that involves church leaders, other people connected in relationship.
Yeah.
Happy to do that.
And you also see somebody's willingness to address the problem. If it's, I really do want to help you – let's sit down and go through your books together. And it's like, no, I just need you to help pay this bill. It's like, okay, you're looking for a Band-Aid on a cancer.
Yeah.
And I want to treat the cancer, not this Band-Aid surface sore.
You know the helping without hurting, or when
helping
hurts.
Yeah.
But then there's the helping without hurting in church benevolence.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the conversation goes from – okay, there's a crisis, but also like what is it being exposed as a crisis is actually a symptom of a bigger
yeah
chronic issue. And sometimes maybe it is just that crisis.
Sure.
And let's do that. But also like what does help actually look like is not just let's take care of this right now.
Yeah.
Because you might be right back there in the next month.
And it's often easier just to write the check. Just like, sure, that's your need. Here's your,
yeah,
here's your help. It's just not what's called for and what's needed. So we want to address the deeper need.
Yeah, good. All right, two questions are pretty similar here.
Okay.
And you made a caveat before making this point yesterday, and both of these I think come from a charitable place, just trying to understand
mm-hmm
more specifically about guarding against a prosperity gospel mindset.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So the first question is, how does the idea that God provides and rewards us different from some of the ideas of the prosperity gospel? And the second one, along with that, thinking about the last concept that God is able to provide, how do we fight the possible temptation to fall into a prosperity gospel mindset when trusting God to provide or reward us when we give? Do we have any personal stories of how God has transformed people's hearts over giving in the years? What
yeah
speaks to that?
Yeah. So I think all good lies have an element of truth in them.
Yeah.
And like our text, and here's one of prosperity gospel people's favorite passages, because he's not just talking about material generosity equals spiritual prosperity. There's a connection of material generosity equals material blessing. Like even in Malachi 3, when he challenges, bring the whole tithe and see that I don't, you know, bless you. And he's talking about their crops, like, I'll take care of you. So there is a sense of – you can't get around it in Scripture where God does talk about blessing his people materially. So those verses exist. The problem with the prosperity gospel is they've totally thrown it out of balance and made it the ultimate goal. So the goal is not faithfulness. The goal is prosperity, and God is just a means to prosperity. So we've talked about God's the prize a lot.
Yep.
Prosperity gospel makes prosperity the prize.
Yeah.
And God's just the means to prosperity. So this idea of God wants you healthy, wealthy, you know, this is what he wants for you. And it's like, suffering is a part of God's plan for people. Suffering is used to shape people, develop people. You know, you're always going to be healed. And there's like, that's not always the case in Scripture. Right. And suffering is a tool that God's used, because our ultimate goal is not health and wealth here, because our ultimate goal is not life here. So you will be healed. There is, you know, eternity waiting with treasures in heaven. So I think they've made prosperity the prize more than God the prize. Yeah. And they've made this life the prize more than the next life the prize. So even a problem with that is when Paul uses the Macedonians as an example, well, they're in extreme poverty and a severe affliction. And he's looking at them and saying, do it more like them. Well, right. If they're doing it, why has God left them in extreme poverty and severe affliction? Well, he's also given them abundant joy. So yeah. God does provide. It doesn't eliminate material provision, but it's not just material provision. There's so much more than that. So there is truth in Scripture that God will bless his people.
Yeah.
And passages that point to materialism. The problem with prosperity gospels, they've just totally taken it out of balance, context, perspective, the point.
Because ultimately the motivation in the majority of the prosperity gospel messages about like giving or sowing seeds, it's sow the seed so that you will get it back. Mm-hmm. And you get back more. Like you will get back yeah. more than what you give. But there what this is saying is like, yes, there is rewards, but the rewards might be poverty, but joy might be.
Yeah, like in the Macedonia situation. Right. But it's not, there is an aspect of material blessing. That's in Scripture.
Yep. It's right.
It is
but
in
that's
there.
Not the point.
It's not the
that's
point.
Not the goal.
It's not but the goal.
That's
it's not
the goal
point.
Of the prosperity gospel. Because
right.
the goal of the prosperity gospel is live your best life now.
Yes.
Health, wealth, and prosperity for you right now. Just have enough faith and give enough money.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll you know, God will get you there.
Right. It's like
you don't know that.
Let me say it this way. It's a different religion because it's a different God.
Yeah.
They're not serving the God of the Bible. They're serving the God of prosperity.
Yeah.
And they're using the God of the Bible to get access to their real God.
Yeah.
So it's a false religion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I love that. Well, I mean, I don't love the prosperity gospel. I love speaking against yeah. the prosperity
and we'll
gospel.
And we'll touch on more of that this coming
yeah,
Sunday.
Yeah, sweet. Okay, last question here to wrap us up. Got this email this morning. So my husband and I were discussing today if we were joyful givers, or maybe late last night, I guess, discussing today if we were joyful givers and how do we know that. There is a peace and gratefulness and satisfaction in being able to give, knowing that God provided the means for us to give. Is that the joy that you were talking about?
Read that last part again.
Yeah. So the question is like, how do we know we're joyful givers? And then she said, there is peace, gratefulness, and satisfaction in being able to give, knowing that God provided the means for us to give.
Yeah. So
is that joyful giving?
I'd say that's definitely a part of it.
Yeah.
You have peace in it. You're thankful for it. You're glad that you can do it. So there is an aspect of that's joyful giving. It's cheerful giving. The question ahead of that is like, how do you know it's mm-hmm. cheerful giving? Do you love to be able to do it? Do you look back and be like, I'm so glad we were able to do that? Is your heart posture like, I hope this honors God? Do you have an open hand in giving? So checking your motives, are you cheerful about doing it? Now, sacrifice is still sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So it's understandable, like, oh, that sacrifice was a sacrifice. But I'm so glad that we were able to do it. Examine your own heart, your motives in it, but a sign of peace and gratefulness for to be able to do it is a sign of joy in giving.
Yeah. I think one of the things too, just it's on top of mind because we saw the first Sunday last night, we told the story of our team in Thailand, mm-hmm. Some missionaries that we support, and then got to see on the back end, it's like some of the SALT students that we gave to go on this trip got to be a part of the story where now there's a church planted in Thailand and there were baptisms, and some of the gals that went on that summer team, assault summer team from here, were instrumental in bringing and starting that relationship and helping these Thai believers get connected to this church and the missionaries there. And it's like, that was a cool moment to see on the back end, but like, it's not that we gave to support them in like the expectation of, well, we're really going to count our investment on that. Mm-hmm. If we don't hear good stories, then that wasn't a good investment. I was like, that's sweet. But then at the same time, I mean,
maybe
it's that I was in youth ministry for a while, but I seem to be getting an increasing number of opportunities to support
overseas
your
missions.
Daughter being one of them. But just that, like, that's one of the things where it's like, we've got some decisions to make upcoming, and it's like, we're excited to do that because it's like, it's going to be cool to see what God's going to do. And even if we don't hear all the stories, it's sweet that we get to be a part of a network of churches that care about sending students to go strengthen and support missionaries in these other places. And like, what can God do with that? I'm excited. Sure. And the part of the church that are giving, like, see that connection of like, we support Salt Company here. We get to see that on our college campuses.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Like, and I would say keep a clear focus on who you're giving to.
Right.
Because if it's just about, well, I'm giving to this
individual or ministry or
ministry or church, it's like no church, person, or ministry is perfect. But the Lord is perfect, and he is deserving, and make your offerings unto the Lord.
Yeah.
You're just made giving to the Lord through different channels. Yeah. But if you understand, oh, this is to the Lord, that should delight your heart because you know what the Lord has done for you and you know how worthy he is.
Yeah, that's sweet. It's a great spot to end off there.
All right.
Church, this has been exciting. I love just the – we've got this opportunity to answer your questions, so keep sending those in. If you've got a question you want us to address on the podcast, if you get those to us on Sunday or early Monday morning, we can usually include them. And there's a link in the Connection Group questions email that's at the bottom that you can do that, or you can find it in the digital program. So keep sending those questions in. Jake, again, yesterday, big idea. Let's leave with this. Our giving should be a willing, generous, thoughtful, cheerful, confident decision, because that demonstrates the gospel and that lives out of the, or we get to live out the love that Christ has poured out to us. So join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.